Chapter 4. Librarium Segrestia. Arx Angelicum. Baal. Unlike the other Adeptus Astartes, gathered in the ostensorio, Mephiston's armour was crimson. The ceramite plates were intricately sculpted to resemble flayed muscle, and, as Mephiston rose from the floor of the chamber, his robes billowed around him like blood pooling in water. Behind him, a faint echo of the sphere could still be seen, a void rolling in the darkness, a window on the stars. As the lights returned, they revealed the sprawled forms of the other librarians, scattered across the stone floor. At the sight of their lord, they clambered to their feet and grabbed their discarded swords. They formed into orderly ranks and pounded the hilts against their chests.
"Chief Librarian!"
they cried in proud, strident tones. Taking his place amongst them, Antros mirrored their salute and stood erect, awed by the sight of his lord. At the same moment, the projection of the priest rose from its throne and began shouting words that were lost to the void. His mouth opened and closed, but no sound reached the chamber. The hooded priests crowded around the projector, tapping dials and flicking switches, until a deafening voice boomed through the air, backed by a shrill wail of feedback.
"Hey, my lord, what did you find?"
roared the ghost priest, his jowly face trembling with emotion.
"Is Divinus Prime safe, did you?"
He paused, as he noticed what Mephiston was carrying, hanging limply in the chief librarian's grip. Was an unconscious man, a robed priest. "Yet, perhaps there was the echo of an answer," said Mephiston, speaking as calmly as if he had just entered the hall through a doorway. "Something just beyond my reach." No one else heard him, and Antros realized the words only existed in his head. "An answer to what?" he whispered. The flickering image cried out again, frustrated by the lack of a reply.
"Chief Librarian!"
The static-chopped voice broke down into a series of abrupt barks and feedback loops.
"Can you hear me? What has become Divinus Prime?"
He stared at the unconscious man.
"Who is that? One of ours?"
Mephiston continued to ignore him, as he laid the priest carefully on the floor and turned back to the fading sphere. A look of mild surprise crossed his face.
"Huh, I have been followed,"
he said, speaking directly into Antros's mind again. He sounded intrigued rather than alarmed. Antros braced himself seconds before the chamber exploded. A thundercrack hurled Mephiston through the air. He smashed through the ranks of librarians and tumbled into the darkness, leaving a trail of sparks as his armour scraped across the stone. Behind him, the after-image of the blood sphere surged back into existence and warped into a new form. Crimson light became crimson flesh as a gaping wound opened in the air, hanging just above the floor. It swelled like a disease-bloated tumour. The air around it rippled and congealed like pus. It looked like a septic scar opening onto nothing. The priest recoiled in horror, despite being half a galaxy away. But Antros and the other librarians steadied themselves and levelled their force weapons at the growing tear.
"Chief Librarian!"
cried Epistolary Racilus, searching the chamber for his commander. There was no reply from Mephiston, so Racilus gave his brother librarians a silent order. They leapt to obey, fanning out to surround the horror forming in front of them. Shapes were bubbling from the ether. Something was emerging from the wound.
"On my command,"
Racilus said, and Antros whispered an oath, causing his staff to sizzle and blaze with psychic power. Flies began to drift from the hole, just a few at first, winding lazily into the chamber. Then, clouds of them, gushing through the opening, adding a low drone to the din that had already filled the air. Antros recognized the magnitude of what was happening. Danger in the very heart of the Arx Angelicum was unheard of. He stared at the grotesque thing that was quickly filling the ostensorio. It was a window onto madness, and, As he raised his staff, a hellish tide of creatures spewed into the room, tumbling through the clouds of flies. It looked like a torrent of internal organs, a coiled mass of glistening tubes and pulsing sacs that slapped onto the floor of the chamber. "By the throne," he grunted, as a horrific smell filled the air. It was a thick stink of putrefaction and feces, and he felt as though he was suddenly trapped inside the bowels of a rotting animal.
"On my command!"
repeated Epistolary Racilus, gripping his sword in both hands and bracing himself as clouds of flies swarmed around him. His majestic tones revealed no trace of fear, but Antros could sense his outrage. The visceral, fecal soup blossomed into humanoid forms, sprouting gangly, mottled limbs and hunched, pot-bellied torsos. Grubs blistered up from open sores, forming into drooling, slack-jawed faces. Others sprouted grey, membranous wings, bristling insectoid faces and glistening proboscises. Racilus waited a few seconds more, his face full of scorn, as pus-yellow eyes blinked open in the centre of oozing, bulbous foreheads. Then he raised his chin, imposing and magnificent, as he gave the signal to attack, bringing his sword down in a chopping motion. Antros unleashed all his rage and determination through the head of his staff. A column of blue light ripped from the weapon and slammed into the emerging horde, joining the ferocious storm of psychic energy hurled by his brothers. A grinding sound filled the chamber as the librarians poured torrent after torrent into the creatures. A sphere of light began to form as their warp fire clashed with the malformed creatures, and an acrid stench of burning meat filled the air. As Antros saw the full horror of the fly-shrouded shapes, he knew instinctively what he was looking at. "Demons," he muttered. During his grueling years of training, he had seen picked images of countless xenotypes, including some far stranger looking than this. But it was not the anatomy that arrested him. It was the utter wrongness. They did not conform to any natural laws. Their crumbling, fetid flesh was revolting, but Antros's mind could see through it. It was just a facade, a shadow of their true, incomprehensible nature. Antros broke ranks and climbed the steps of the chapel again, seeking a better view. As he looked back at the fighting, he saw what the other librarians could not. Their psychic blasts were feeding the wound, causing it to gape ever wider. The front ranks of demons were disintegrating under the ferocity of the librarian's attack, but as the hole widened, it vomited ever greater volumes of warp filth into the chamber. Some of the librarians strode forwards to meet them, lashing out with their swords and carving the demons into slabs of scorched flesh. "Stop!" he cried, knowing that his words would be lost beneath the din. On top of the noise of the librarians' blasts, the swarming of the flies and the tearing of the air, the hololithic confessor was still crying out, his voice growing louder and more distorted with every word.
"Miff! Miff! Miff! Wretch! You! 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 Miff!"
Everything merged into one dreadful, apocalyptic roar.
"Lord Racilus!"
boomed Antros, striding back towards the fight, scouring the carnage for a sight of the equerry. The whole chamber was juddering, and Antros found himself mired in a storm of flies and crimson sparks. He closed his eyes and allowed his thoughts to slip through the tempest, reaching out for Epistolary Racilus. Antros's powers were far greater than they had ever been before, magnified by the blood magic that was coruscating through the air. What he had intended as a simple call reached Racilus as a warp-fueled scream. He saw the veteran stagger under the impact of the message, scowling and clutching his head.
"Hold!"
ordered Epistolary Racilus, once he had recovered. His brother librarians obeyed, lowering their weapons. The smoke cleared to reveal a steaming mound of twitching demons piled up before them, smouldering and flickering with ripples of warp fire. Antros muttered a curse as he saw how big the gap in the air had grown. It had tripled in size and was spraying ever more nightmarish shapes at them. Worse than that, it was straining outwards, bulging towards the edges. Something was forcing itself against the other side. Something massive. As it swelled, it spewed even greater swarms of flies. They battered against the librarians with such force that they struggled to stand, and the entire chamber was now a storm of whirling fly clouds, making it impossible to see clearly. Epistolary Racilus was about to give an order when Mephiston swept through the tornado, his spectral wings outstretched and his force sword raised as he dived into the heaving mass. As Mephiston reached the tear, it opened with a wet, ripping sound, and a black shape approached through the swarm of flies. There were now millions of the insects, and Antros could not see the shape clearly. In his mind, he saw something that resembled a great geyser of oil that slammed into the chief librarian and engulfed him. Mephiston's blade flashed and tore the storm apart, blasting the insects into sparkling blue embers. He continued on into the hole, vanishing from the materium into whatever hell lay beyond. Mephiston was only gone for a few seconds. The clouds of flies parted, as a new nightmare hauled him back into reality. A mountain of mucus-lined flesh that uncoiled itself slowly into the chamber, belching fumes and pulsating like a huge mollusk. It was so large it crashed against the ribs of the distant, vaulted ceiling, and it was encased in a mantle of frilled, rippling muscle that resembled rows of gills. Parts of this undulating mantle extended out from the main mass, creating long, serpentine limbs, one of which had almost entirely enveloped Mephiston. It was lifting him towards a serrated opening in the thing's eyeless head. "No!" hissed Antros, as he saw Mephiston nearing the mouth.
"Vermin," said a nonchalant voice in his head. "Nothing more."
Mephiston plunged his foresword into the creature's mouth. Traceries of red light rippled through its enormous bulk, and it reared up in pain, smashing through the ceiling of the ostensorio. The stone gave way, sending arches and vaults tumbling down into the chamber, smashing into pieces and adding plumes of plaster dust to the clouds of flies. The ministerium priests started screaming as the structure of the ostensorio gave way. Huge cracks knifed out from the hole created by the swaying bulk of the demon as it lurched and undulated, colliding with pillars and buttresses. Antros and the other librarians were still hurling thick columns of energy at the demons, filling the clouds with pulses of light and barked commands. A ministerium priest stumbled through the haze. Antros headed in the man's direction, intending to shepherd him from the hall, when another figure emerged from the dust clouds with a swagger. One of the stooping, gangly things had broken through the ranks of librarians. It stared at Antros with a bulging, cyclopean eye, holding up a pair of rusty meat cleavers. Psychic flame ripped from Antros's staff, tearing the demon apart in an explosion of diseased flesh and pus-green blood. Antros lowered his smoking staff and looked back to find the priest. The man was sprawled on the flagstones, clutching his severed throat as blood gushed from him in great gouts. Antros rushed to aid him, but another demon lumbered into view, its jagged sword dripping with the priest's blood. Antros hunched over his staff and unleashed a blast of psychic wrath, smearing the second demon across the wall. Great hunks of stone were now crashing down all around him, and the ceiling was almost entirely gone, revealing the soaring walkways and towers of the librarium beyond. Column after column slumped and fell, and the two surviving ministerium priests sprinted through the chaos, dodging falling slabs and leaping over cracks in the floor as they struggled to locate the exit. The hololithic projection of the senior priest was still visible, through the bloody haze and falling rocks. He was howling in fear and rage, his eyes wild, but the speakers had been destroyed, and he was once again mouthing into the void, a deranged, shimmering giant presiding silently over the death of the ancient chamber. Antros's enhanced vision saw easily through the haze, locating the doorway just a dozen or so feet away.
"This way!"
he cried, shepherding the dazed priests towards the exit.
The door's lintel had cracked, and the opening looked like it might give way at any moment. He looked back to see a wall of demons charging towards them, countless dozens of the loping horrors approaching from all directions. As the demons flooded across the shattered flagstones, Antros raised his staff, cutting them down with a scythe of psychic force and filling the air with gore. Then he turned, grabbed the two priests by their robes, and hauled them out into the light. The scene outside the ostensorio was almost as chaotic as the gruesome struggle taking place within it. The battle brothers of the Fourth Company were racing towards the building, weapons raised, but as they climbed the steps, the walls and buttresses started bulging and toppling. Captain Petrinus and his space marines took aim as the cause of the destruction rose into view. The enormous bulk of the demon tore forwards, ripping open the roof of the ostensorio as though it were wading through a low tide rather than demolishing a building the size of a cathedral. Huge hunks of crenellated marble collapsed beneath its bulk, tumbling down onto the blood angels below. Captain Petrinus roared a command, and the air filled with bolter fire as demons flooded through the broken doorway. Antros turned, but before he could reach the doorway, Lord Racilus and the rest of the librarians emerged from the ostensorio, covered in filth and dust, still hurling gouts of psychic energy as the monster crashed through the building above them. A low tectonic groan filled the air, but it was not coming from the doorway. Mephiston was still crushed against the demon's circular mouth, his blade burning red as it sank deeper into the thing's insubstantial flesh. The sound was coming from the point of contact. It was such a bass rumble that Antros could feel it resonating in his guts. Cracks started to spider out from the base of the ostensorio, splitting the roads into shards of rockcrete and gaping chasms that opened up before the staggering blood angels. The noise grew louder, and the ostensorio finally collapsed, thundering to the ground with all the fury of a landslide. A tower of dust and flies reached up towards the heavens, blocking out the sun, like a doom-laden finger laying judgment on the screaming masses below. As Antros fell backwards, his battle plate crushed beneath a tsunami of rubble and broken bodies, he caught a final glimpse of Mephiston. His ink-black wings were spread, and he was soaring clear of the explosion, a triumphant angel, his ivory face turned to the heavens, the demon-severed head clutched in his fist.